The book of Matthew, chapter 28, and this is Missions Sunday, Missions Month. I love missions. I appreciate churches like you that love missions, a pastor that loves missions. And I can feel his heartbeat. I can feel your heartbeat, what God is doing from heaven through you. And so thank you so much for being involved in Faith Promise Missions. And so, you know, you're going to do that every Sunday, and then right up to the Faith Promise Commitment Sunday. I'll be preaching in Texas on Wednesday week there in Dallas-Fort Worth. I'll be preaching Wednesday through Sunday night in a church, and they'll be doing the same thing, you know, for his Faith Promise Missions there to help support missionaries around the world. But today I want to deal with the mandate the Lord gave us and grow Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John into the book of Acts, all the way up to Acts chapter number 11, to the church of Antioch, Syria, that became the sending church. And tonight I'll pick back up in Acts probably 13 and cover Acts 13, 14 in the 2 years and 2,000 miles estimated that Paul and Barnabas and John Mark went into there to from Antioch, Syria, right on through all the way. I'll give you the areas from Seleucia to Salamis to Paphos to Pergam, Pamphylia, Antioch, Pisidia, Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe, and back to Antioch, Syria. Amen. So we'll look at different things here tonight, but right now I want to lay the foundation, and I know you're familiar with it. Some people are not familiar with the Faith Promise Missions. And of course, I'm sure a lot of you are well embedded into the principle. And I believe in it. I practice it in my home church, Heritage Baptist Church in Statham, Georgia. I showed you the missionaries that in Africa, my wife and I supported, and Albert Agwini, Stephen Olo, and Stanley Olukuria. And we supported those there, and all three of those pastors are indigenous, self-supporting. Then we've taken on three more. And we didn't stop, we just upped it, amen. And so we're going to, you know, it won't be long, but another year or two, and we'll have six church plants ourselves, amen, and that we are personally involved in through our Faith Promise Missions. And so I thank the Lord for the opportunity. Now, the book of Matthew, chapter 20, look at verse number 18. The Bible said, and Jesus came. This is after, of course, the resurrection, and chapter 28, one end of the Sabbath. It began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Sunday, and we know the Lord had resurrected, and so we find that here, he said in verse number 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, now notice he said all power. Do we really believe that all power, he said, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth? And the Bible said here, go ye. That's just not for the preacher. That's just not for the missionary. That's everybody. Go ye, the Bible said, and he says, therefore, and teach. Now notice here's a second all. He said all power, but then he said all nations. That is a grave responsibility the Lord gave the church, you and I. As you know, I've been saved by the grace of God, regenerated, justified, sanctified, sealed by the Holy Ghost of God, placed in the body of Christ by the Spirit of God at salvation. I want to be a part of the, in other words, the mandate that the Lord gave you and I as a church of the living God. He said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Then he said, all nations. Well, boy, I'm in a great, great responsibility. Notice the Bible said, all nations baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them, notice the Bible said, teaching them to observe, here's a third law, all power, all nations, and then he said, all things. Well, then notice the Bible said, he said, whatsoever I've commanded you. And then he said, lo, I am with you. Now notice the fourth one, always. In other words, all power, all, in other words, all power, all things. He said, all nations. And then he says, then he said, I am with you always. In other words, all the time. You know what I'm glad today is that I'm not by myself. The Lord is with us here in the house of God. And He's in the midst of us. And you know, He's given us the mandate to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And He said, I'll be with you. Amen. So Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for Gilead Baptist Church. And thank you, Lord, for the people of God. Thank you, Lord, for the good singing. We've enjoyed the good Sunday school hour, the good fellowship. And Father, I pray that you'll be with the preacher and his wife today as, Lord, they'll be coming in. Lord, and I thank you, Lord, for their faith, their testimony, their love for you. I pray for the Runyon family. I pray, God, that, Lord, that you'll be, Lord, with that funeral this week and help us, Lord, in the home going to Dr. Runyon. And what a great man of God he was, and we worked side by side for these 20 years. I pray you give us grace, give the family grace, and Lord, heaven, Lord, we want to rejoice that, Lord, heaven is made sweeter. And our Father, I pray you'll bless now. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, the book of Matthew, you'll find the Lord said, He said in verse number 18, we'll read it again. Jesus came and spake unto them and said, all power is given to me in heaven, but he also said in earth. And we don't serve a dead God. We serve a living Savior. Amen. He's alive. He's able to abundantly above that which you think or ask. But it said, according to the power that worketh within you. I believe that we have the power of God. I believe Gilead Baptist Church has the power of God. I believe God is working through this local church and using you around the world through your faith and through your prayers and through your financial giving to world missions. And so he said, all power is given me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. Then he said, teach all nations. That is such a massive responsibility. And one of the things I've tried to do in missions in the last 5 years, 6 years, that we ship 5 containers of Bibles into Africa. Over 150,000 whole Bibles. We shipped in millions of gospel tracts, put in 1,000 volume library, put in probably 1,000 old Schofield King James study Bibles and to help the preachers and commentaries and all kind of teaching aids and things that they can use and color books and Swahili and English with a plan of salvation for the children and Johnny Romans and Swahili and English and so many things. But he said, teaching all nations. Well, I've had a part of the Lebanese and that of the Arab and that of the, of course, there in Kenya, Uganda, and of course, the Philippines and Mexico. And one of the brothers was with us here, has been to Mexico with us years ago with Dr. Spivey, Luther Spivey. But he said, all nations. How are we going to do that? We're going to do it, you know, by your faith and by your financial commitment. And I'm glad to be a part of Faith Promise Missions. I tithe to my local church. I give to missions just like you do. I give to missions. I tithe to the Heritage Baptist Church in the state of Georgia. Then we have Faith Promise Commitment every year just like you do. And we'll take and put out a certain amount that God lays on my heart. One of the things about Faith Promise Missions is you learn how to pray. And you pray it in and believe God for it. And you trust the Lord. And you learn to trust God. You trust Him with your future. You trust Him with your family. You trust Him with your finances. And you watch God give through you. I love to see it happen. You know, one of the things I've been praying for even in the last year to this year. And you saw on the PowerPoint, we've already built from last year to now the church in Nanhini, the church in Jairah, Sierra, Bukwaya, Halaba, and we're building one right now in Milamaya, and then Talanchi, and then right on to 10 new church plant buildings. And every one of those churches, I mean, you're looking at $10,000 or more. And you say, well, you must be a wealthy missionary. No, I got a God that is able to go abundantly above that which you think or ask. Amen. And God can send it in. Amen. I've watched Him do it over and over. Last year, I asked God for the 2 new church, the dorms, you know, and we needed $20,000. One of the verses I claim was Jeremiah 33:3. He said, to call unto me, I'll answer thee, and I'll show thee great mighty things which thou knowest not of. You see, God can do great things. I look at this beautiful building. I see the hand of God here. I see God's blessing upon this church. I believe God will bless your family because of your missions. And God will bless your faith because of missions. And God will bless your finances because of missions. Give and it shall be given to you good measure. Pressed down, shaken together. Running over shall men give into your bosom with the same measure that you meet. With it shall be measured to you again. That's Luke chapter number 6. I got a businessman that I was preaching on that verse. And the Christian businessman loves God. And he said, you know what? He said, I want to build one of them little churches in Africa. And he built one. Then he built a second. Then he built a third. And then he built a fourth one. And now he's built almost 8 of them through the years. And he said, you know what? He said, when I first did that other one, I was building houses for maybe $100,000 as a builder. And now he said, I went on up to $1 million buildings. And he said, God has so blessed my finances because of my involvement and obedience and my faith. And I believe God will. I've seen God bless my family and I've seen the fruit of missions in my own personal life. Well, take your Bible, turn with me to the book of Mark 16. I got to hurry. Amen. Somebody say amen. Okay. You'll say amen, I'll preach fast. If you don't say amen, I tell you, I'll be here all day. Amen. All right. Mark 16, look at it. And so we find in the book of Matthew, we find the resurrection, and we find the Lord Jesus said all power. He said all nations. He said all things. And he said, lo, I'm with you always. In other words, all the time. So those are the four alls. Now I want to come to the book of Mark chapter 16. I want to show you something else here. Notice in Mark 16 verse 15, and the Bible said, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Now notice he said all nations in the book of Matthew, but here he says every creature. I believe everybody ought to hear the Word of God. Amen. I believe everybody ought to hear the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, I've had the privilege to travel all over the world and preach to, I think, one of the largest crowds we've ever had. Years ago, back in 2005, was in Egypt, in El Minya. And we had 7,000 people in the gospel tent, 25,000 people there in 3 days, and thousands were saved. And the gospel went out, and people responded and received the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But here it says, in other words, to every creature. Well, how are you going to do that? You say, preacher, I'm not a missionary. I can't go to the foreign field. God's never called me to go to the foreign field. Well, you know what? You can give to worldwide missions. You can help, send a missionary. You can help keep a missionary on the field. And so you find here, he says, go you to all there and preach the gospel. He said to every creature. Now, notice in verse number 19, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven. And he, in other words, there's his ascension. The Lord sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then the Bible said in verse number 20, and they went forth and preached everywhere. You know, all of us ought to be telling somebody about the gospel in our life. You built Gilead Baptist Church. Francis Mamai is the pastor. And Gilead Baptist Church, in the letter that he just sent, matter of fact, I made a copy of it here in my Bible. I have it right here. You're more than welcome to see it. I have it right here. And in this right here, right down at the bottom here, he says, I spent 72 hours soul winning. I'm talking about Brother Francis Mamai, Gilead Baptist Church. My friend is good to listen in his area. What the Lord said, he said, every creature, spreading the gospel. In other words, your Jerusalem. This would be your Jerusalem right here. Outside these walls would be your Judea. Beyond that would be, in other words, Samaria. And then through your missions would be the uttermost part of the earth. But the Bible said here, notice in verse 20, and they went forth and preached everywhere. Now, I like this right here. You remember Matthew? He said, the Lord, he said, I will be with you always. Well, look right here. He said, the Lord working with them. You see, I'm glad the Lord is working with me. I'm a co-worker with God. You are a co-worker with God. I love to think about that. You know, that God would give me the privilege. In other words, I'm a brother in the Lord. I'm your sister in the Lord. In other words, I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. I'm a disciple. The Bible calls us in the book of Acts. We're called saints of God. Well, you find here the Bible said the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs. In other words, that was in the transitional part of the book of Acts. They didn't have the complete word of God, and God gave them sign gifts. And notice in Luke chapter 24. We've got to hurry. Amen. Father, I might need to go back there and stop that watch, stop that clock. Amen. Take the battery out of it. Amen. And do that. Amen. No. All right. Look at the book of Luke chapter 24. Look at verse 47. So we find in the book of Matthew, the Lord said, He said, all power is given unto me. Now, I like that because I like Psalm 81:10. He said, I am the Lord thy God that brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide and I'll fill it. You know, I think the wide open mouth, being hungry for God. And, you know, I've seen God work. I've seen God prove Himself faithful. I've seen God provide and supply. I've seen God do the miraculous. He said, what do you mean, preacher? Well, for the last 6-7 years, I've asked God every year for a number of church buildings. Sometimes the Lord lay on my heart for 6, 7, 10. This year be 11. If we get them all built, be 11 church buildings built. You know, 5 containers of Bibles. That costs $50,000 if you bought them containers. A Bible's in $10,000, $12,000 per container. I've seen God, listen, hey, we're buying 6 gospel tents to set up in Malaba, and the money's been provided there. In other words, what I'm trying to say, that, you know, things that I open thy mouth wide, and I'll fill it. And I don't have that money. I don't know where it's coming from, but I serve a big God. I serve a God that can, amen, and God that can provide. Well, He can do it through your faith. Hebrews 11:6, and without faith it's impossible to please Him. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder. I want to be a diligent seeker, and I've learned to take and put down in my prayer journal and ask God and date it when God lays it on my heart. And I've watched God supply the need. And what's God answer the prayer? Well, you know, I want to have not disruptive faith, but I want to have dynamic faith. You remember the storm of Euroclydon in the book of Acts 27:25, when Paul was a long time praying, and then the Bible says in verse 25, be of good cheer. He says, be of good cheer, came back on deck. Be of good cheer, search, for I believe God. Do we really believe God? I believe God can provide. I believe God can send it. He said, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. So what we do, we have faith based on the promises of God's Word. We take the Word of God and learn how to pray and learn how to believe God. You know, I've learned to pray in faith promise missions. I give my tithe, but at the same time, my wife and I, we give the faith promise missions. And I'm challenged everybody, just like you are, monthly, weekly. Well, the Bible said here, He said, look at verse 47, and that repentance and remission of sins, we preach His name among all nations. Notice the participle now. He said, beginning at Jerusalem. Well, we find the book of Matthew, all power, all nations. He said, all things. And He said, I'm with you all the time. Then the book of Mark, He said, even, in other words, to every preacher, the book of Luke here, He says, beginning at Jerusalem. Well, in the book of John 20:21, He said, even so send I you. Now take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Acts chapter number 2. And I got to hurry. Acts chapter number 2. We're going to begin here. This is where I'm going to give you I'm going to give you 1 hour of teaching in 10 minutes. You ready? Let's go. Look in the book of Acts chapter number 2. Now we find the book of Acts written by Luke under Theophilus. We find that it covers about 31 years, AD 63. But we come to the Acts chapter number 2, and you'll find that this is the day of Pentecost. In other words, the Lord had proved Himself alive. 10 post-resurrection appearances, daily appearances. Then we know that 10 days, He proved Himself, and then 10 days before Pentecost as He ascended. And we know that He sat on the right hand of the throne of God. 10 days later was a feast of weeks when all the Jews from every nation. If you look in the book of Acts chapter 2, notice in verse number 5, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And we find that here they are for Pentecost. Well, and we know the fulfillment of John 14, John 16 is the Holy Ghost came. And notice your Bible in the book of Acts chapter 2 in verse number 9, 10, and 11. I'm not going to read those names, but what I want you to do is look at me, and we're going to draw a circle. And we're going to draw a big circle. This is the world. This is the globe. We put a dot right in the middle of it, and that's called Jerusalem. And we know that Jews had come from North Africa, was Cyrene and Libya and Egypt. We go to the islands, we go to Cyprus, and we go to that of Crete. If we go to that of, we come to Rome, and we come to the proselytes, if we go to the Mesopotamia area, we come to the Tigris and the Euphrates River, and we go north, we come to Phrygia, and that of Persia, and you'll find that all these Jews had come in from all over the known world. Well, Peter preached, and you know your Bible, 3,000 Jews got saved. But here, what I love to see people saved, amen. I've seen them. I've seen 1,000 saved on a Sunday in Malamba, Africa, and 800 saved, but 3,000 saved in Africa. But we find here that 3,000 people had got saved. Well, from Pentecost churches, not only the church, but we believe that the church at Rome, my friend, was birthed from Pentecost because they were Jews from Rome. My friend, that maybe had taken the gospel back to Rome and a church there born. There's other areas that from Pentecost churches you'll find that were born as people carried the gospel to other places. You know, one of the things we do in Africa is that like Francis Mamai, she had a burden to leave Nakuni area and went into another village, and then people were saved, and he carried the gospel, and people received the gospel, and a church was born, and then of course you built the building, and now they got 55 members and had 4 saved last month. Amen. But I want you to turn to the book of Acts chapter number 8 now. Look at verse number 1. So we find now that God used Peter on the day of Pentecost. Acts 2, we find that now the Lord used Stephen in Acts chapter number 7. And they stoned Stephen, a man full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. But then we come to Acts chapter number 8. And we find the key verse of the book of Acts is what? It's Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. Let me quote it to you. It said, "But ye shall receive the Holy Ghost." You shall receive... I'm gonna mess it up, so let's go back over there. Acts 1:8, the Bible said, "But ye shall receive power," here we go, "after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses." You know, every one of us here today are a witness. And you're saved by the grace of God. Did you know that we are a witness of a person? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's alive, amen. You say, "How do you know he's alive?" He lives within me, amen. I know he's alive. Well, you know, with the new birth, when I was saved at the age of 18, 1973, my wife was saved in 1973. I was called to preach in 1974, in a Bible college in 1975, and I went out pastor 17 years, and then God put me in missions for these 20 years. But you see, we're a witness of that of a person, the resurrected Son of God. We're a witness, number 2, of the power of God. We're a witness, listen, of the plan. In Acts 1:8, he says, "You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, shall be witnesses." Notice the Bible said unto me. We're a witness not of an organization, not of a building, but of a person. Unto me. Now notice he said both in Jerusalem, or he said there, he said in Jerusalem, and that happened at Pentecost. Then he said in Judea, that happened in Acts chapter 8. He said Samaria, Acts chapter number 8. Then he said the uttermost part of the earth. Well, that's going to happen in Acts chapter number 13. But we come to Acts 1, Acts chapter 8, verse number 1. Notice your Bible. The Bible said in Acts chapter number 8, verse number 1, the Bible said, look at verse 1. "And Saul was considering his dead. At that time there was a great persecution against the church," that's Jerusalem. "And they all were scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria." Well, what's happening? That's Philip. Philip, one of the 7 in the book of Acts. But here he is now, and God uses him, and a revival breaks out in Samaria. People are saved. Churches are started. I can show it to you in the Bible. And you'll find that God takes Philip from this area, and he pushes him all the way over to Azotus, into Caesarea, into Azotus later. And we find that God used Philip in Acts chapter number 8. Then we come to Acts 9. I'm just laying the groundwork for tonight. In Acts chapter number 9, we know that one of the greatest conversions of the Bible, Saul got saved, AD 36. And we find Saul got saved on the road to Damascus 21 times in the book of Acts, how mean he is, how wicked it was. And he believed that Christianity was a myth, a fake, and a heresy, and he was going to get rid of it. But on the road to Damascus, God saved him. He astonished and trembled and said, "Lord, what would I have me to do?" And we know Saul got saved. Well, Acts chapter number 10, God opened the door of salvation to the Gentiles. The Gentiles in Acts 10 received the same Holy Ghost the Jews did in Acts chapter number 2. But then I want you to come to Acts 11. I got 5 minutes. All right, come on. Acts 11. This is where I wanted to get to. I got 11, I got 10 things here. You ready? I'm going to give them to you. God, what He does is He raises up the church of Antioch, Syria. In Acts chapter number 11, the gospel comes into this area and a church is born. You ever think about the time that the gospel came in to make an area? And you know, as Gilead Baptist Church was born, I think about the gospel, how it came into Uganda with Francis Mamai, and they passed out tracts and they won people to God, and God birthed a church there, and we call it Gilead Baptist Church in Nankoma, Uganda. And Francis Mamai, the pastor, and I think about that. Well, he said to every creature, all nations, he says, all power, he said, all the time, begin at Jerusalem, every creature, even so send I you. He said, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the outermost part of the earth. Well, we come all the way up from Jerusalem to Judea in Acts chapter number 8, Samaria. We come and we come up to Acts 11. We come into an area. Take you by Acts 11. Look at verse number 20. And you'll find here, the Bible says here in verse number, we'll go verse number, yeah, verse 20. And some of the men of Cyprus, Cyrene, which were to come to Antioch, Syria. In other words, Syria, not Pisidia. The Bible said they spake unto the Grecians, preaching. Notice it said preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know what the answer is for your area? Is preaching. God has ordained preaching. God has ordained the proclamation of the Word of God. Listen, hey, I've seen all walks of life of people all around the world get saved through the gospel. The gospel will save people. Amen. The gospel will change people. I've seen all kind of walks of life and background of people accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Well, number one, there's preaching. Number two, if you'll notice in verse number 21, and the hand of the Lord was with them. Do you know what we need today is the hand of God? We need the power of God. God to give us that power. He said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. And listen, I can't do it, but God can. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And if you do without Him, you'll do nothing. Hey? But I'm going to tell you something. God's using Gilead Baptist Church. God's using your faith. God's using your prayer. And I love Jeremiah 32:17. Lord, our Lord God, that's made the heaven and earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. And there's nothing too hard for thee. I don't want to limit God. I don't want to, my friend, half-hearted. And I got a frog in my throat and he's crossed his legs. Amen. All right. Now, so number one is preaching. But then number two, look at it, and the hand of the Lord's with them. And the Bible said a great number believed and turned to the Lord. You see, they're soul winning. I love to see soul winning. I love people going out knocking on doors and witnessing and winning people to the Lord. And last year, I believe, collectively from the letters that were brought in, I mean, we had 6,000 conversions through our churches and our nationals and there in Malaba and Kenya, Uganda. And so there's preaching, but then there's sowing. But then you'll notice the next thing in verse 26, the Bible said, when they had found him, they brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves together with the church. And the Bible said they taught much people. Well, you see the word taught? It's that, in other words, there was teaching. What happened is that the church at Antioch, or church of Jerusalem, heard what happened in Antioch, Syria. And Barnabas went up and saw it. He saw the hand of God. He saw that people had been saved. The gospel had come into that area. And it was such a move of God Then what he said, you know, I got to go get Saul. And he went 40 miles north to Tarsus, where Saul was at that time, because after they laid him down through the basket, through the window there in Damascus, and the Damascene Jews tried to kill him. He came to Jerusalem 15 days, and then the Grecian Jews tried to kill him and put him on a ship. And then he traveled to Tarsus, Syria, and Cilicia. And there was 5 to 8 years, we call them the silent years of Paul's life. But we found here in the Word of God that the church, my friend of Antioch, Syria, was born. And you'll find that souls got saved through the preaching of the Word of God. And then Barnabas said, I got to have help. So we went and got Saul, brought him down. And then the Bible said they taught the church of Antioch, Syria. You see, there's got to be teaching. Your pastor Holmes is a great teacher. He's a Bible teacher. He's a Bible preacher. He's mentored many of you and trained you, and you've trained others. And that's what I do around the world, is train preachers and church plants. And see, my friend, churches become indigenous and autonomous. So number one, there's preaching. Number two, there's soul winning. Number three, there's teaching. Number four, look at verse 29. The Bible said, then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which are dwelling in Judea. You see, you're going to find that in verse 29 there was giving. You can't outgive God. You know, the suffering church, yes, at Jerusalem needed help. And they did that several times, Paul and Barnabas, because of the persecution that had set in. I've seen persecution around the world. But you'll find that as a child of God, I tithe, I give to my local church, I give offerings, but I practice faith promise missions. Faith promise missions is based on faith. It's not what you have. It's not in your resources. It's not in your checkbook. In other words, it's between you and God. It's something you pray about that God lays upon your heart, and then you take it to the Lord. And Lord, you know what? God, if you lay that amount on my heart, well, then you're going to send it through me. I believe that whatever God lays on your heart, God will send through you. I've seen it over and over and over. And so my wife and I, we have that faith promise commitment, and we put down what we're going to give for the year, and then they break it down into 52 weeks. Monthly, whatever. And we trust God to send it. I only look for it. I pray about it. Then I know God, you know, I've been doing it all these years, and God has never let me down yet. Amen. And He won't. I'm going to need something. God will give through you. I've seen Him do it over and over. But there's giving, but then there's praying in chapter 12, verse number 5. And, you know, there's never been a time we need to get back to praying. A church is a church praying and getting a hold of God. Lord told me something 6 years ago about this subject. I read everything I could in the Bible. I've studied books after books. I was in Bristol, England years ago as preaching as a pastor. And I remember going to George Mueller's place. And George Mueller prayed in $90 million and never asked a man for nothing. And I saw all his works and different things happen. Then went right over here to Washington, Georgia. If you've never been there, go there. Bounds, Ian Bounds' Memorial House. I went to the area where he was. I said, I want to know where he prayed. They told me the third room, third floor, and I went up there where he prayed. And I asked God to teach me how to pray. Lord, I want to know how to pray. I read everything that he wrote. Big, unabridged edition. Great man of God, great mind of prayer. Knowing how to have the ear of God, how to pray things in and believe God for it and find spiritual prayer and believe the promises of God's Word. Well, I even went to the cemetery where it's buried, and I went out there and stood before the Lord, just me and God. And I said, God, teach me how to pray. I want to have the ear of God. I want to believe God. I want to see mountains move. I want to see the impossible happen. And I tell you what, by August, there'll be 63 church buildings completed. You say, how did that happen? All I can tell you, God, amen. Prayer, faith, belief, trust, desire, and just watching God do it. I believe you as an individual, as a child of God, and as you're challenged this month and you find the mind of God in your faith promise commitment, I'm going to tell you something. Don't you doubt God. You believe God, and you put it down, and you watch God and wait upon the Lord. God will send that every time. I've seen Him do it. Last of all, and that's what you've been waiting on. chapter 13. Look at it. I'm 5 minutes over. I want you to look at verse number 2. This is the church of Antioch, Syria. We're going to pick up here tonight. But the Bible said as they ministered the Lord and fasted. You know, what do you want to see God do through your life? I was a drug addict, kicked out of high school 5 times in the 12th grade, snorting cocaine. Now, I'm not exemplifying sin. I hit rock bottom, OD'd, almost died, God saved me. I went back, finished all that, but God saved me. He regenerated me, justified me, sanctified me, sinned with the Holy Ghost. God changed me from the inside out. All that went away. That's been 40, almost 43 years ago that God did that. And I know that, listen, hey, I know what God did for me. And so now I've been preaching for 42 years. And God took a crooked stick like myself and God using somebody like me for His glory. But I want to be used of God. It's my life, my ambition, my goal. I want to be an engineer and then had almost 300 class hours. And God changed all of that. God called me to preach and I left all of that. And boy, I want to be used of the Lord. And I'd never finished anything in my life. And, and through the years, 13 years of Bible college training, seminary. I call it cemetery. And you get that in a minute. But anyway, in verse 2 it says, they ministered the Lord and fasted. What do you want to see God do? Boy, I can open up the heartbeat of your pastor. And the burden he carries for missions and the burden he carries for God to work through your faith and God to work through this church collectively. You know, just a handful of people can't do it all. We got to have everybody in the church doing their part in faith-promised missions. You know, our grandchild, Casey, one of them, she's a cake baker. Boy, she makes some cakes that knocks a home run with her. She sold them for $500 and 150 cupcakes and all this stuff. I mean, she's a great cake maker. God's given her a gift. You know what she does with it? Her missions. Her faith promise. She asked God to bless her. She makes a commitment. God bless me with these cake orders. God bless me that I may give. God help me. Boy, she wants to do her part. And boy, I tell you what, she tithes and she gives to missions. And teenagers can do it. That church, and you remember the church in Capena? You remember the one there in Capena, that youth group that stepped out by faith, went before Sokuma and Faith Baptist Church. And I remember the North Carolina, the youth pastor called me and he said, the youth group in our church wants to build a church in Africa and they're going to step out by faith. They don't have the money. They don't know where it's coming from. They don't want the church to help them. And boy, they begin to come together, and they asked God, said, Lord, bless us and help us. And they began to make picnic tables together and woodsheds and sold them. And did you know they raised every bit of that money, and they built a church themselves, and it's over there in Africa, and we called it Faith Baptist Church because God will bless faith. God operates on the principle of faith. And my friend, listen, I'm for organization, but you've got to learn to trust God by faith and watch God do the impossible. Call unto me and I'll answer thee, and I'll show thee great mighty things which thou knowest not. As a minister and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Jephthah and Barnabas saw for the word unto our call them when they laid hands on them and assembled. We'll walk through some of that tonight and make application. But you know, as we all stand here this morning, you're at the prayer. Let's all stand and maybe they'll come to the instruments here. And what I want to do this morning, of course, y'all go ahead and start playing. But what I want to do as a church today, I want you to come and take a moment. I want you as a church to gather around this altar. And if you can't bow, I want you to come and stand. Come on. Listen, everybody here this morning, you say by the grace of God, listen, you don't have to be a member, just come on. But I want you to come and gather around. If you want to bow, you can bow. But if you want to stand before the Lord, you can sit on the first pew there. But I want you to come this morning as a church. And Lord, I want you to thank God for Gilead Baptist Church here in Nakoma, Uganda. But I want you to take a moment, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and I want you to just talk to the Lord and say, Lord, I want you to begin to show me in my heart what you want me to do for world missions. You said all power is given to men, heaven and earth. I believe that, Lord. You said all nations. You know, little is much when God's in it. You know, if everybody would do their part, the power of multiplication comes into being. When everybody's doing something, or the magnitude of that, the involvement of that, everybody stepping out by faith. But you know, ask the Lord what He would have you do for world missions, all power, all nations. He said to every creature. Every creature needs the Word of God. And He said, even so, send I you. You know, you may not can go to Africa, but yet you're a missionary in essence. You're a representative, ambassador of the Lord. And you're to be a witness right here in your local area. You're to be a soul winner right here in your local area. And you know, listen, how you can take and help send missionaries around the world through your missions. Boy, I love missions. Thank you. Well, listen, for your salvation. I'd be in hell or prison today had not the Lord saved me. But God saved me, gave me a beautiful wife, three beautiful children, seven wonderful grandkids. God's let me be a part of starting 322 churches around the world. Thousands are being saved all over the world, even if we're not there. Oh, I'm glad of that. I want to lay up treasures in heaven. You know, one day our houses will be bulldozed over. Land will be gone. Money will be gone. But what you do for Jesus is going to be what's going to last. Well, I want to lay treasures on the other side. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for the people of God. Thank you, Lord, for their loving you and coming before you. Draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to us, as the Bible said. Thank you, Lord. I pray you lay upon their heart what you'd have them to do for world missions. God, give them the spirit of revival in the area of missions. And Lord, you've been faithful last year through missions, and you'll do it again. So, Lord, meet every need. Lord, if there's one here lost today, save that soul, I pray. Speak to that heart. In Jesus' name, amen.